Welcome to today's Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I must confess, a podcast that I'm very, very excited to do because it's on a subject that I'm very, very fired up on. And it's about a supplement which I really consider a candidate for the supplement of the decade. It's tremendously exciting. It's, okay, let's give it away. Spoiler alert. It's nicotinamide riboside. And today we're going to talk to the co-founder of Chromadex, who's now executive chairman of the board, makers of True Niagen products. It's Frank Jacks. And I actually spoke to Frank a couple years back when NR, or nicotinamide riboside, was just beginning to make waves in the nutraceutical world. Mr. Jacks oversees research, strategy, and operations in the Chromadex with a focus on scientific and novel products for pharmaceutical and nutraceutical markets. And hunting high and low for the next coenzyme Q10 or resveratrol, he has opportunely come upon this remarkable compound. We're going to talk a little bit about it. So welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Okay, so you know, first of all, how did you come across nicotinamide riboside? You were part of a team that initially realized the potential of the nutrient, and then acquired a license and developed it. So, how did that come about?
Well, Chromadex, you know, we've been around for a long time, and a lot of people in the industry know us as sort of one of the leaders or thought leaders in the area of science related to these types of ingredients. And, you know, we've been out sort of hunting, if you will, for novel ingredients for a long time, and we have a fairly unique process. And we have all of the skills necessary to not only identify new ingredients, but also to develop them to something that could be a commercializable product. And in 2006, I bumped into the research of a guy by the name of Dr. Charles Brenner, who was looking at a compound nicotinamide riboside as a way of increasing NAD. And I thought it was incredibly interesting what he was doing, and it was still very early back in 2006, but a year later, a publication from Columbia came out basically identifying NAD, which is a fairly well-known substance, so nicotinamide adenine dinucleotide, which is going to be probably something we'll be talking quite a bit about during this session. But the it's fairly well known that NAD is sort of the central metabolite, if you will, that's part, you know, a critical part of the cellular energy metabolism pathway for cellular energy production. Primarily ATP. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot of things that weren't necessarily known at the time about NAD that we'll get into more detail about through this whole thing. But that was an eye-opening thing for me. But this Columbia publication essentially pointed out that NAD was sort of the next big category for drug development as a category associated with the progression of sort of a wide range of diseases. That sort of pushed the button, at least in my camp, to start going, okay, nicotinamide riboside doesn't exist. It's clearly something that needs to be focused on. And then we started evaluating it in more detail, and then coming up with the strategy to license all the patents, including Dr. Brenner's patents when he was at Dartmouth. And we finished that, and then found a way to manufacture nicotinamide riboside at a commercial scale in, you know, early 2013, and were able to sort of bring it to the market, at least initially, as an ingredient in 2013. So before Chromadex launched nicotinamide riboside, which is now a consumer product called True Niagen, and it's the only product out there that's really sort of the patent backed that was originally developed by Chromadex, but it didn't exist in the market. You couldn't find a few milligrams of nicotinamide riboside before we brought it to market in 2013.
Well, so first of all, NAD, nicotine adenine dinucleotide, kind of going back to high school or college biology, what does it do? where does it reside in the cell, and what is its function?
Well, it's sort of the central player. Without NAD supply, you really don't, the cell really won't survive. So NAD is the central character in the Krebs citric acid cellular energy metabolism path for, you know, production of ATP, which is linked to production, the energy production cycle that's within the cell itself, and also the, even almost more critically, the cellular energy metabolism process that's involved with the mitochondria. Mm-hmm. So it's both inside the cell itself and also central to what happens within mitochondria.
So to borrow a phrase from coenzyme Q10, which is actually called ubiquinone, it's ubiquitous. It's everywhere. It powers virtually all the processes that are energy dependent within the body, you know, heart, brain, you know, et cetera.
Correct. But what wasn't known, even at the time when, you know, I started becoming incredibly interested in this compound, to the point where, you know, we started acquiring patents and making financial investments and finding a way to bring it to market. But the story started building out beyond just the NAD to ATP cellular energy story, is that there are numerous cell repair enzymes or proteins. And many of these proteins or enzymes, and more of these have been published, almost every couple months now, there's something published about the link between NAD supply and these cellular repair enzymes. And that's the new thing that really is sort of identifying the link between, okay, the importance of NAD not only to cellular energy production, but it's also NAD is a necessary activator or component that's part of these repair these enzyme repair processes. With many of the repair enzymes like PARP, CD38, SARM, and the sirtuins, just to name a few, there's others as well, but all of those are NAD dependent enzymes. And so without a robust supply of NAD, or if the, so that in its own right, if your body is stressed, because of various factors, the very aging process itself, or the progression of diseases, will cause the depletion of NAD. And when the NAD supply gets knocked down, there's not enough NAD to go around, the wheels start to fall off. And that will affect cellular energy production, meaning ATP. And it will also affect the cell's ability to protect itself against oxidative stress, or, you know, ROS. And all of these things ratchet to low supply of NAD, and a lot of these are associated with the aging process. And these cellular energy, or these cellular repair enzymes, are a critical part of that. You know, PARP is a DNA repair enzyme. It needs a lot of NAD. Mm-hmm. And if PARP is overexpressed to respond to challenges, then it's going to take that NAD, and there's not going to be enough NAD to go around. And that's, I think, the critical story to where nicotinamide riboside plugs into this. You know,
there's been a lot of research on the sirtuins, and initially it was thought that by taking resveratrol, you could rev the sirtuins. These are anti-aging compounds. And then, of course, there's a not-too-fun way of boosting your sirtuins, which is caloric restriction, or CR, which is not to a lot of people's liking, because you have to eat about 800 to 1,000 calories per day for about 20 to 30 years, and you might see some additional years of life. But is there a potential for True Niagen to boost sirtuin production?
And that, yes, and the answer goes back to what NR does best. NR is the most effective NAD cellular energy or NAD precursor, if you will. And we can talk more specifically why NR is the most effective NAD precursor. And there's human data now that supports the effectiveness of NR as an NAD precursor. But you can activate a sirtuin. So with resveratrol, you take resveratrol or something else, there needs to be an abundant supply of NAD for that activated sirtuin to work. So not only is nicotinamide riboside, by increasing NAD, a sirtuin activator, an activated sirtuin needs that NAD to basically do its job.
Mm-hmm. So it actually, you could see those as companion nutrients that they could perhaps have a complementary effect.
Sure, absolutely. It's possible. It's just, I think, in certain ways, I think more is known now about the effectiveness of NAD or the importance of NAD supply than mm-hmm. some of the other ones that are out there, like resveratrol.
So what's wrong with just taking NAD? I mean, it's a compound that's made in the cells. Can't you just swallow it and build up your NAD?
That's a very good question. The answer is no. You can't just simply consume NAD. NAD is not an orally bioavailable compound, so it's not going to survive the digestion process. There are some clinics out there that are starting to do IV infusion of NAD as well. Mm-hmm. But even if you go that route, or if you look at any other NAD precursors, this has been a big question about the NAD story in general, but there are studies now, more than one, and there's one study in particular that touches on that subject. NAD will largely be converted to nicotinamide riboside to transport into the cell to be rapidly converted back to NAD through the through NRK. Mm-hmm. And that's really the core of Charlie Brenner's research, is the identification of the NRK nicotinamide riboside kinase path, which utilizes nicotinamide riboside to rapidly increase NAD.
So essentially, it's a building block, and that's the best way to deliver the raw materials for synthesizing NAD. So is there evidence that simply by taking reasonable amounts of NAD, you can boost your NAD levels? Because, I mean, one of the drawbacks of some supplements is like, great, you know, research shows that if you take, you know, the equivalent of 5 kilos a day of that, you know, it's done in like mice or something, and you have to, of course, do the math, and in a mouse, you know, you got to multiply the weight to get to a human weight. Yeah, it's great. It works in mice. But then when we talk about humans, it's like kind of an unattainable dose. Is it demonstrated that you can actually do this with reasonable amounts and economically feasible amounts of nicotinamide riboside?
Yeah, that was initially demonstrated in animals, and you know, if you do the appropriate sort of body surface area calculations, that's how we determined the initial doses that we used when we went into the first human studies. And so we did our first human study, which was reported back in 2015, which showed that nicotinamide riboside at three different doses, 100, 300, and 1 gram, all were sufficient, even in a single dose, to raise NAD levels. So a single dose of NR had a significant impact on raising NAD. And we followed up with that with a larger clinical trial, 140-person double-blind placebo-controlled study at three doses, the same three, 100 milligram, 300 milligram, and 1 gram. You know, 100 milligrams will raise NAD, 300 milligrams will raise it more than 100, and 1 gram will raise it more than 300. Mm-hmm. So there are now several published human studies and other published studies that are going to be on the way that basically have shown that nicotinamide riboside is very effective at reasonable doses at raising NAD levels in humans.
Okay. What happens to NAD production as one ages? Is there an inevitable process by which NAD production declines, and could that be part of the aging process itself?
There's a direct link between aging and the decline of NAD, and there's a direct link between the progression of a lot of conditions and the decline of NAD. So I mean, the data right now, or the studies that are out there, show that NAD, if you had to pick one thing that you wanted to, you know, use to sort of improve the quality of life as you age, and repairing or improving NAD supply is definitely a critical part of the story.
One of the ways that I gauge the plausibility of a supplement is I look at the research, And, you know, if the research is all from like 2002 and then it kind of peters out, it suggests to me that there was a flurry of excitement about something, but then it would kind of ended up being sort of a blind alley. What's the status of research with NR? How many studies are currently underway in, you know, medical schools or university right. laboratories?
So that's a very good point, and I never thought about it that way, but you're right. I mean, sometimes there's an initial excitement over something, and then it never really proves out. The excitement doesn't prove out, and it kind of peters off a little bit there. But the in this case, it's been increasing in a nonlinear fashion. Mm-hmm. The sheer amount of research that's been ongoing on nicotinamide riboside over the past 5 years since we've made it available. So when we made it available in larger amounts in 2013, it fueled the research basically that's been really going on over the past few years, because now there was an abundant supply of nicotinamide riboside that could be used for that research. And we've signed over 150 collaborative agreements since we launched Niagen in 2013. Hmm. 150 plus collaborative agreements with various universities is a huge deal for us. I mean, normally for a nutrient or an ingredient like this, you'd be lucky to maybe get 5 or 10 mm-hmm. over the course of a period of 3 to 5 years. Yeah, and the fact that we have,
and especially, excuse me, it's not a pharmaceutical drug, like a statin drug or some new breakthrough CAR T cell cancer therapy, you know, which could garner patent protection. I mean, clearly you have patent protection, but I'm saying it's in the nutraceutical realm, which is kind of interesting because often nutraceuticals kind of suffer from a paucity of research to back them up.
That's usually true, but in this case, I think you're going to find that with the momentum behind that research, I mean, the level of research just keeps increasing year over year and has been consistently now for the past 5 years. And another good sign of the evidence of that now is that if you go to clinicaltrials.gov, you'll find that there are 25 studies that are currently listed on clinicaltrials.gov. And a majority of those, you know, there's been 10 new ones that have been initiated just this year. Hmm. It's not just preclinical research that's going on within these research labs. A lot of the early stage successful preclinical work that started several years ago has led to successful peer-reviewed publications demonstrating the effectiveness of nicotinamide riboside as an NAD precursor. And the success led to the funding of human trials to basically take it one step further past the animal studies into human studies. And you know, the fact that there are 25 now listed, about, I think 8 of them are completed now, and there's 16 of those studies are currently ongoing. So that's a pretty big number.
It bodes well, that really does. So it seems to me, and yet, simplistically, when I explain this to patients who are interested in finding out about it, and listeners, I say there are really two basic ways in which this could benefit you. One is subjectively, in terms of energy, in terms of perhaps cognitive function, perhaps athletic performance. But, you know, what I say to patients is, even if you don't experience a major power surge of energy and vitality, there's these silent processes that are going on in your body that are continuous over years and decades, which gradually deplete your reserves. And by taking nicotinamide riboside, you're going to protect yourself from these degenerative processes. So, is that an accurate way of portraying it?
It is. This is definitely something that, you know, even the healthiest of individual that is aging, it's something that you want to make sure that you have an abundance of NAD supply, or making sure that you have an abundance of NAD supply.
Indeed. Okay, so we're going to conclude part one with that great introduction to the science behind NAD. But in part two, I want to talk practicalities. We're going to talk about some of the research, some of the potential applications of nicotinamide riboside. The product is True Niagen. ChromaDex, the company that puts it out, we're talking to co-founder Frank Jacks, and he is chief executive officer. Actually, you were chief executive officer, and now you're, I guess, shuffling of the chairs around the board table, executive chairman of the board, overseeing research, strategy, and operations for ChromaDex, makers of True Niagen. Okay, we'll be right back. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is Intelligent Medicine.